Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Sherwood Niece is here too, ladies and gentlemen. Sherwood is a new friend of ours, and they tell me that his friends call him Woody. We'll see how that goes with me today. If I wind up being in that category, he's the founder of Startup Exemption, which is something we're going to talk about in a minute. He's a serial entrepreneur. He's been successful, highly successful, starting and running his own businesses over the years, and some very important businesses, which I'll get him to tell us about in a second. And he's become, though, more recently, an entrepreneurship thought leader, and somebody who's helping you out there. And that's what he's doing with his startup exemption work. He's also a member of the organization that you've heard me talk about many times before. He's a supporter of the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. Woody Niece, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. Can I call you Woody, and can I be your friend for just a couple of minutes till we disagree?
I would love to have you call me Woody. That would be great.
Hey, Woody, before we get into the details of the startup exemption and crowdfunding and all that sort of thing, I'd like for you to take about 1 minute and tell the audience about your entrepreneurial background.
Okay, I think that's a great way to go into it anyway, because I am a product of the capital flowing. I had come up with an idea with my brother-in-law to flavor medicines for children so they're more compliant. The company was called Flavorex, and we started in one pharmacy in Washington, D.C., and expanded to 40,000 across the United States, and went out and did three rounds of financing, but also used our personal finances, our credit cards, home equity lines, bank
right.
loans, and
picking up aluminum cans on the side of the road, whatever it took, right?
Exactly. Whatever it took to help us fund that company is what we did. But it disappeared with the 2008 financial meltdown. So that's what brought us. Actually, we sold that company in 2007, and I hit the road again, as any good entrepreneur would, with three other ideas that I wanted to start and fund. Mm-hmm. But when I went out there looking for capital this time, I realized, wow, there's none there. So that's what brought us to this whole idea of using crowdfunding as a mechanism to get capital flowing where the banks and Wall Street have essentially left off.
Well, the reason why it was important for you to say what you just did is I wanted the audience to make sure that they understand you're not some starry-eyed, pointy-headed academician. You know, you've been out there where the rubber meets the road. You've been there, done that, and you've done it on either side of the tried to raise capital on either side of the of 2008, and you know what's going on. You know what the details are, but you also know what the challenge, not only the challenges from an economic standpoint, the current economy, but there are also challenges that are systemic, that are classic, I should say, inside of any startup to try to get their business off the ground. And so that's enough of a challenge, let alone the economy, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the number one thing that we really focused on, and I learned a lot of this because I was also a member of an organization called Entrepreneurs Organization, mm-hmm. is cash is king. And
right.
you really need to focus your business model on cash and sustaining cash, growing cash, and using the cash within the model help fund the growth of the business.
Well, there's no question about that. And so one of the things that you have been looking into is this idea of crowdfunding, right?
I'm sorry, what are some of the things we're looking into?
Crowdfunding. That's what you started looking into, crowdfunding, right? In your startup work in the startup exemption?
Yes. So the way this all came about is when I realized there was no capital out there, I was lamenting this fact with three other entrepreneurial friends of mine. And I was saying, you know, these crowdfunding platforms, Kickstarter, where people are just donating money to help fund entrepreneurs.
Explain to the audience. Take a moment and explain to the audience what those are.
So those are websites where people, artists, artists and authors and musicians put up a project and ask their community to help support the project by donating money to them. And people just give $5, $10, $50 to help fund these projects.
Without any expectation of return or of any kind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Zero return. You cannot offer a return of any kind or else you're infringing on the SEC security rules.
Right. The Securities Act of 1933, 1934.
Exactly. So the way these platforms get around it is people just donate their money to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars over the past 5 years and over 500,000 ideas. Artists, you know, people are getting some serious capital to help fund their ideas, which is great. So the theory is working. And, you know, the important thing to realize is what they show is that not all ideas are funded. Only the ideas that the people think are worthy of funding are funded.
Right.
So we, in looking at that, we were just taking the principles of, okay, so there's this community vetting that's going on where the crowd's coming in and saying, you know what, I think that artist has a great idea for, you know, for a band or, you know, this is a great movie that needs to be made, and I'll help put some money behind it. But if other people don't, they won't, and they won't raise the capital that they need, and that movie will never be made.
Right.
So it's the tenets of crowdfunding that we were looking at, saying, look at these guys raising millions of dollars. People are just giving it away. Imagine if we applied these same principles of crowdfunding to investing and allowing people to sell equity and let the crowd vet them. If we could raise the same amount of capital that they're doing there, imagine the amount of businesses we could help fund, grow, and they could go out and essentially hire Americans, which is the goal, everything that we're working on here.
So then you bumped up against, as we mentioned a minute ago, the structures of the securities laws that protect people from the Bernie Madoffs of the world, ideally. And people who would try to rip you off, you bump up against that, and then which is legal, but then you also bump up against some of the practical issues that you have when a small business is trying to find investors, and that's justifying the investment and being able to manage those relationships, the investor relationships, et cetera, et cetera. So, folks. It's the idea is there. The premise has been proven with other activities like the crowdfunding of artistic activity as Woody mentioned. But will it work for small businesses even if it becomes legal? We're going to talk about that after these messages. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.